And the children can be dismissed for junior church if there are any at this time. I want to ask you a couple questions as we get started this morning. I want to ask you some big picture questions, some really important questions. Think about, what is your life agenda? What are you living for? Don't just give in your mind, even in your just your quick heart response. You're sitting here in the church seats. Don't give the quick Sunday school answer. Even to yourself, don't do it. But look at the evidence. Look at how you spend your time. Look at what you spend your time thinking about. Look at where your checkbook and your credit card. What are you living for? I've been confronted about my own agenda as I've gone through these weeks with you, looking at this particular passage of Scripture that we in the church have largely taken and turned into a ritual that we just kind of recite the words mindlessly. We've been looking at the Lord's Prayer. And it is in studying the content of the Lord's Prayer that I've been brought back to the reality that I have this disease that is in me, and you have the same disease that causes us to live an agenda for ourselves. I've been taken back again and again. I find myself quoting this verse. I've quoted it to some of you in one-on-one conversations as we talk about the inner wrestling match that goes on in our hearts, where Paul says in Romans 7, the good thing that I want to do, I just don't do it. And the bad thing, the sinful thing, the selfish thing, the wrong thing that I do not want to do, that I end up doing. There's a civil war going on inside of me, and I have to confess and I have to own that there's this energy inside of me that's selfish, that wants to live for self in so many ways. And even though I come to church and I hear about God and I know, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be living for myself. I'm supposed to be putting God first and living for God. It just isn't that easy. And I seem to resort right back to the old agenda just as naturally as can be, with no effort. That's what having a sinful nature is. It's just kind of the automatic default mode of life. Unless Christ comes in, and as we walk with Him in life, He radically can change that. But if we try to coast, and if we just try to coast along, we will go back to the default mode every time. You and I struggle. And then it ends up even perverting, hear this, how we think about God. We end up then thinking, well, God exists to meet my needs. God exists to give me what I want. And we even mess that up. Well, the Lord's Prayer is a great corrective. For the Lord's Prayer, and what we've looked at so far, the first three phrases is about God's name being honored in the lives of His children. Hallowed be Thy name. Your name be honored, Lord. Not just because we sing about it on Sunday morning, but because, God, may Your name be honored in the way that I live my life as an individual Christian and as the way that we live our lives together as a church body. God, may Your name be honored. May people look at our lives and say, wow, what a great God they serve. And may they look at you, God, and see your activity. Even though sometimes it's beyond our understanding, you are a good and great God, worthy to be served and worshiped. Your name, your kingdom, come. We talked about the kingdom is simply the rulership of God in the lives of His people and ultimately and eventually in the world as a whole. And so the kingdom is, the prayer for your kingdom come is a prayer of surrender, and it's a time of coming before God and saying, God, I don't want to be on the throne of my life. That's not where I belong. I belong humbled before you with you on the throne of my life, with you in control. And so that is the prayer that the Lord Jesus gave the disciples. Your kingdom come. Not my kingdom, your kingdom. And then finally, last week, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We talked about how is God's will done in heaven? Perfectly, all the time. And the prayer is, may that be true here in my life and in our church and increasingly in our world. Your will be done. But we recognize, again, there's a battle going on between your will, God, and my will. And so I have to surrender my will and say, no, God, whatever you want, teach me, shape me, send me, use me, change me. So the Lord's Prayer, the first three prayer requests in the Lord's Prayer are all about God, and we haven't even been mentioned yet in the prayer. Have you noticed that? Your name, your kingdom, your will. We're halfway through the prayer and we haven't even come into it yet, other than we're the ones offering the prayer. It's a prayer of adoration and worship and surrender. And that needs to be how we lead into prayer all the time. And that's how we need to live our lives, that this is the priority. And if we will get that right, seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? Say it. All of these other things will be given to you or added unto you as well. So that is to be the agenda of a kingdom living Christian. And then we move on in the prayer. And Jesus continues to teach them. It's not that you can't pray for yourself. It's not that you can't pray for your needs. Of course you can. That is there as well. But we lead with these things about a focus upon God. And then once that's in place and we're before God and we're committed to living for Him and for His will and His kingdom and honoring His name, now we're ready. And not until then are we ready to now bring our requests before God. And it's interesting, the first three phrases that we've looked at are your name, your will, your kingdom, and your will. And now the next few verses use the word us. Give us, deliver us. So now the focus comes upon our requests and our spiritual needs. And so let's pick that up. With that agenda, a kingdom agenda in mind, let's look at verse 11 of Matthew chapter 6, the next phrase. Give us this day our daily bread. I want to make some observations. If you want to pull your outlines out, we're going to just make some simple observations about this verse as we prepare for communion this morning. I hope your mind's already thinking, bread. Give us our daily bread. We're going to eat some bread here in a few minutes. I wonder what the connection is. Well, that's what I want to help you see in the next few minutes. Some observations about this prayer request, give us our daily bread. First of all, number one, this bread is not just physical, but spiritual as well. It is especially physical or spiritual. We know that bread is the staff of life. It is an image in Scripture, one of the images, not only in Scripture, but in society as well, that, you know, man cannot, we need bread. We need food to live on. And so we think in the physical realm. And it is physical, and I don't want to diminish that, because some places in the world, people need to pray, God, what am I going to eat today? I don't know where it's coming from. And so it is certainly physical. And if you are in a position like all of us are, maybe some to a greater degree than others, but you know where your food's coming from today and tomorrow and next week, and that's covered, then this is a prayer of gratitude. This is never something we should take for granted. In a prosperous society, this should spur in us a heart of thank you, God, for your provision. Thank you that I have a job. Thank you that I have a provision. Thank you that I have food in my garden. Thank you, Lord, for providing for me. And this should spur in us a generous spirit towards others who do not have. Did you know that oftentimes for those that do not have daily bread, then those of us who have an abundance, God answers the prayer for them through us. I was went over, Bill and Phyllis here are working at the a food pantry for school children and their families, and they've been working on this for a while. I went over and checked it out, what they were doing, and it started out as a backpack program, and now it's in one of the schools, elementary schools that no longer exist, but they're using their gym. What's the name of the school? Woodlawn. And so now they have all these families that are coming in. And it was interesting. While I was there, one lady came in, and this is a woman who is a single mom, and she's working one or two jobs, and she's going to school trying to get her nurse's thing going on, and she was in an abusive marriage at one time, and now she's by herself with these kids, and she was just sharing with the director that, well, I come here on this day, and then there's another food pantry that helps me get through that next week, and she's a gal that's trying to do the right thing, and the provision of daily bread for her was coming through the ministry of these ministries here in the community. So praise God for that. And as she prays for God daily bread, there's a group of believers that are there providing that. And so the physical is part of this prayer for daily bread. But given the fact that he's just talked about the kingdom of God and the will of God, we need to also understand that there is a spiritual element to God's provision of daily bread. And it kind of just simply looks like this. God, I also don't just need physical food for my physical body. I need spiritual food for my soul to get through today. If I'm going to be a kingdom Christian, if I'm going to be about doing the will of God in my life, then God, I also need your daily provision of what I need spiritually. I need a piece of you, God. I need your Holy Spirit to be at work in my life. I need the truth of your word to come alive to me. I need brothers and sisters in Christ who will sit down with me and sharpen me and encourage me and maybe confront me if I need that. I need other people. That's my spiritual daily bread. So it's not just physical, but it's spiritual as well. Second observation, this bread is daily. Give us this day our daily bread. It's actually an allusion to the Old Testament. You know the story. I'm going to tell it a little bit more thoroughly in a minute. But the manna from heaven, when the nation of Israel is traveling to the promised land and they're trying to figure out, okay, we got a big group of people here. There aren't any McDonald's out in the desert that we can go through the drive-thru. How are we going to eat? And God provides a miracle. He provides daily this manna, this bread from heaven that appears in the morning when they wake up and they collect it and they eat it. But if they try to keep it and gather some for tomorrow, because they're a little bit worried that maybe God isn't going to show up tomorrow, so they're going to grab a little extra. Do you remember what happened? It spoiled. And there's a picture here. Daily, daily, daily. I need God's provision daily. And I need to depend upon God daily. And if He's going to give me, you know, enough to last me for a week, then I won't come back to Him until next week. But if He's only going to give me what I need for today to stay close to Him, to live for Him, then I'm going to be daily dependent upon God for my essential spiritual life and physical life. So it is daily bread. Number three, this is the bread that we need, not always the bread that we want. This is a very humble prayer. When you think about it, give us, God, just give us this one day, just what I need to survive is really what this, I mean, it's a minimalist prayer. Give us this day, today, our daily bread, just what I need for today, God. Now, let's be clear about something. We as children of God are told in other places that we can ask God for anything. This isn't saying this is all we can ask God for. And we have other needs. And we can pray for things that are beyond our needs. You've done this, and I've done this. God, this is something I want. I wish this would happen. I hope this will happen. And we put those things into God's hands. I was just telling my daughter yesterday. I said, honey, you need to learn to go through life and not take things before God and hold it with a tight fist and demand it. But you need to take your things of that you deal with in life before God with a gentle grasp. So that if He wants to take it away, because He knows that's not ultimately what you need, then you're not playing tug of war with Him. And He can take that. And if He wants to leave it there and bless you with that particular thing, then He'll leave it. And that's the, you know, we as Americans, we demand our wants. Does that make sense? We get in a spirit where we demand not just our needs, but our wants as well. And we get in a mode where we do that before God. And He says, no, this, I will provide for what you need. And I believe He means that not just physically, but spiritually as well. I believe that I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I believe one of the biggest heresies in the world today in the church is the prosperity gospel. Pastors telling people that if you just have enough faith, God is going to make you healthy and wealthy. No, and I read the scripture, I see that we're going to suffer just like Christ suffered. And some are going to face persecution. And the church through the ages have had people who've been all along the economic scale from poor to rich. And God even said, the rich, man, that makes it hard because you're about your riches. So be wary when you hear that kind of a message. Number four, this bread is all about the kingdom. The context of the middle of the prayer has to be put in the context of what how the prayer began. And the prayer began, like I've already reviewed, your name, your kingdom, your will. And so the bread is a prayer about whatever I need, God, to be living for your kingdom. That is my prayer. That is my daily prayer. In other words, God, today what I need courage. I'm facing a moral situation at work or at school. And God, I need courage today to stand for you, to stand graciously for you, but firmly for you. And so my daily bread is I need your courage today. Maybe it's, God, I'm in this relationship and I need to love this person because your word says I need to love this person and I don't have even a little bitty ounce of love in an emotional sense towards that I feel towards this person. God, I need your capacity to love this person, to choose to love them, to move toward them rather than away from them. God, I need your provision. And it can be 100 other things. It can be, God, I need faith today. I need faith to believe in you today, to believe your promises. I need peace today. I'm full of anxiety. I'm full of worry about all the things that are happening in the world. I've had all three of my kids asking me, Dad, are we all going to die of Ebola? I mean, whatever, however you pronounce it there, think about this stuff. God, I'm full of anxiety. God, I just need your peace today. And then finally, ultimately, this bread is Jesus. One day, Jesus, in his earthly ministry, you know the story, he fed a large crowd of people. Says 5,000 men, which meant probably 20,000 or more people, counting women and children and men together. And they were there together. And he started with just a few pieces of bread and a few fish. And he created a miracle and he multiplied it. And they all ate till there was such an abundance that they filled 12 basketfuls of bread after they were done of leftovers. And these Israelites did not miss the connection. They knew that someday one like Moses was going to come. Remember, Moses is the one through whom God brought the manna in the Old Testament. And they knew one day another one was going to come, a prophet, a Messiah was going to come, and he was going to bring them bread like Moses did. And they got the connection. They ate the abundance of bread and they said, "Whoo, he's the one." And they came to him the next day and they said, "Are you the one?" And he said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread come down from heaven. And if you taste of me," and he uses some graphic language that we would be uncomfortable with. He says, "If you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you will have life and you will be taken care of spiritually forever." And they were like, "Well, show us another sign. Show us another miracle. Give us more bread." And all they can do is think on the physical bread. Just provide for us. Take care of our physical needs. And Jesus says, "That's not your deepest need. Your deepest need is spiritual. And I've come to take care of that." And when he said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood," what he was referring to is, "I'm getting ready to go to the cross. And I'm getting ready to have my body beaten and broken. And I'm getting ready to take your sin upon my body, my flesh, and die in your place and spill my blood as a sacrifice, as an offering unto the Father to take care of your sin problem. And eating my flesh and drinking my blood is just a spiritual way of saying, if you will believe in me, if you will accept what I've done for you, then you will have life everlasting. And as we get ready to take communion, it is the call for the believer to come back to the cross. As I said in my introductory remarks at the beginning of the service, we as believers, we have this tendency, I have this tendency to kind of wander away from God in my heart and in my life and in my obedience. And then we come to the communion table and Jesus says, come back to me, come back to the cross. Put your faith in me again. Renew your faith in me. Realign your life. If you've gotten out of alignment, come back and realign so that you're in line with me. Come close to me. I love you. Like a parent to a young child who draws that child up on his lap and says, I just want to hold you. I want you to be close to me. I want to take care of you. Jesus is saying, come back to the cross. Come back close to me. Trust in me. Let me love on you. You love me. Let's get close. Let's abide together. Let's walk through this journey together. And communion, as we get ready to take it, that's what this is a time for. It's a time to confess sin. God, I've done this and I've gotten away from you. I've had to do that this week big time. For certain actions and attitudes that I just, God, this has taken me away from you. And this is a celebration because we have a Savior to come back to who holds us and invites us. And that's the invitation this morning. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I'm the source of salvation is what he's saying. Come back to me. So I want to invite us to pray and to prepare our hearts for communion. I want to invite the elders and those that are going to help distribute the elements and musicians. And let me just pray as we prepare our hearts to draw near to Jesus this morning, to come back to Jesus from wherever you're at. Let's pray together. Father, give us this day yourself. Give us this day our daily bread, our daily portion of all that we need to live for you. Jesus, it was you on the cross that gave your physical body to take the punishment for sin, to pay the penalty that we all so desperately need but cannot pay ourselves. Jesus, you did that. And you opened up the pathway to salvation that we could now be right with God, we could have a right standing before God, and we could walk out and live out that life that you've designed us to live, a life of faith and a life of love and a life of that doesn't just end here but goes on into all eternity. And it all comes through one person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior and our Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we come as we take communion to draw near to you. Your word says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. The men are going to begin with the element that represents the body of Christ. And as they hand out the elements, the bread, remember Jesus' words, I am the bread of life. Come to me and taste and eat. And really, it's an invitation to faith. Trust in me. If you need to confess sin before God that's gotten between you and your relationship with God, do that even before you take the element. Do business with God in prayer. Thank you.
have that moment where they would think back, they would remember the cross. They would remember the sacrifice on their behalf. They would remember that Jesus was their Savior and their Lord. And on that night, he passed out the bread and he broke it and he passed it out and he said, "This is my body. This is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in faith in me, the living, risen Christ." The source of life in any living being is blood. It's blood that flows through our veins that keeps us alive. And it's a symbol of life in the human body. And so when it says in the scripture that Jesus shed his blood or poured out his blood on our behalf, we're talking again about him giving his life on our behalf. A substitution. Him in our place. And he told the disciples to remember this as well. This cup, he said, is a new covenant. I'm doing something brand new. I'm providing now once and for all salvation for all who will put their faith in me. This is a new covenant between me and you. A new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, Jesus said, in remembrance of me. Father God, thank you so much for the gift of your Son. Help us to walk away from our time together today, continuing to worship you, continuing to draw near to you, continuing to walk in your way for your kingdom, for your will, for your honor. God, use us and change us and shape us to be more like Jesus in all that we do. We worship you and praise you.
Create in me a clean, clean heart. Create in me a work of art. Create in me a something real and something beautiful. Father in heaven, we participated in the beautiful meal of communion together. We're reminded of a sacrifice and our involvement with it. We're reminded of the importance of praying about our daily bread.